Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You're listening to your weekly wellness radio. Let's Talk About It. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. And we are a live radio call-in show, so give us a call. Today, we are talking to Natalia Rodriguez Flores. She is a mental health counselor and an American Family Therapist intern for the Imperial County Behavioral Health Department. Good morning, Natalia.
Good morning.
Good morning. And today, what are we going to be talking about?
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Okay. What, just in a very short overview, what is post-traumatic stress disorder, or better known as PTSD?
Uh-huh. It's basically when someone endures some sort of trauma and it affects them in their life in various ways. Mm-hmm. It impairs them in areas as well. And there are certain criteria that is needed to be diagnosed with PTSD. Mm-hmm. And then they also have the acute stress disorder. Mm-hmm. And that's if the trauma had been just within 6 months, the symptoms have only been within 6 months. And then after that, it could be placed under post-traumatic because of the length of time, it's more chronic. Mm-hmm.
Who does this affect? Does it affect just a certain population?
I think overall, I'm not exactly sure as far as the numbers, but a pattern that I've seen is at some point these individuals that we work with in mental health have been affected in some sort of way. Something traumatic has happened in their life. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times they don't recognize it. A lot of the clients grew up in a domestic violent home and they thought that was normal. And they have these symptoms where they have nightmares of that stuff, or they're hypervigilant, things like that. And they don't realize that that's post-traumatic for them. They just saw it as something that was within their household. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned about, you know, they experiencing things, events when they were, you know, growing up. Does this only affect adults only and not children are exempt?
No, as well as children, but I think those who work with children, it'd be something that could be happening in that moment or even more recent. By the time I see them, because they are adults, it's typically something that happened in their childhood. And like I said, I think a lot of it is that they're not educated on it. Even when asking them if something traumatic has happened in their life, sometimes they just don't see the connection of it being traumatic, or not even knowing what trauma is. 'Cause it could be something that's like a single event, like being in an accident, or something that was ongoing, like viewing domestic violence, or if they were abused. And even something that happened at birth could be traumatic, not necessarily that it goes under the post-traumatic stress disorder, but it was part of the birthing experience. I had a client like that the other day who had denied trauma, and I explored accidents, if they ever witnessed anything. And fortunately, that client's mother was there, and I had asked her about her pregnancy with this child. Because it just seemed like cognitively mm-hmm. he was delayed. There was something there. Mm-hmm. And the mother had mentioned when she had him, she didn't have him full term. She had mentioned she went, I guess, to the restroom. Mm-hmm. And she had the baby not knowing. And he had fallen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he had fallen in the toilet and had a major head injury. And that doctors had told her that everything was going to be fine. And I asked her about developmental like markers.
Yes.
And
milestones.
Yeah, and she had mentioned that she couldn't say specifically, but he was always delayed compared mm-hmm. to the other siblings.
Yeah.
And she just thought that it was,
that was,
yeah.
that was
yeah. she didn't realize like how that had affected him, and coming to treatment she was trying to focus on his behaviors but not realizing how it's connected to mm-hmm. what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so that happens often with clients, that they don't see like the connection.
Mm-hmm. What are the types of treatment that are provided for post-traumatic stress disorder?
Well, typically when the clients come in, they're assessed, and after that they would begin seeing the nurse and the doctor, and so they're first placed on medication. Stabilization mm-hmm. is the first part. And when they begin therapy, if they're referred to therapy, usually they continue with stabilization for a good amount of time. They have problems with sleep, nightmares and just chronic worrying, and they can't manage stress well. Some might be using drugs mm-hmm. still, or maybe in abusive relationships, things like that. And so that has to be addressed first. And then after that, depending on the types of memories that mm-hmm. they have, if there's something that could be worked with, if they're not distorted, if they come more like movie clips or pictures mm-hmm. That they can work through, then we can begin the imagery rescripting therapy.
So you have a couple of options for treatment. You can
yeah.
just have medication, and you can have medication with psychotherapy,
mm-hmm.
or you might just end up with one or a combination of both.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it depends on the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, typically they'll be on medication for some time.
Mm-hmm. Well, today we are talking to Natalia Rodriguez Flores. She is a mental health counselor and a marriage and family therapist intern for Imperial County Behavioral Health. And today we're talking about post-traumatic stress disorder. Give us a call here at the station. Our number is 337-8874. And if you miss this and you want to get more information, you can also access through our podcast through www.kxoradio.com and click on our podcast. So, welcome, Natalia.
<Thank you. laughs>
Okay, now we're going to go through the whole post-traumatic stress disorder more at length. So, have you ever, post-traumatic stress disorder, is it prevalent here in our community? What kind of issues are people having, with when they come and they're diagnosed with a PT or post-traumatic stress disorder?
Well, typically, when they come, or I guess they call through mm-hmm. Access to begin the process, they are focused on the symptoms that are related to PTSD
mm-hmm.
Or have resulted from that trauma. They're focused like on depression, anxiety, feelings of stress. So they don't readily see the PTSD, and it isn't until we begin the assessment and exploring that, then they're able to see, at times they're able to see a connection, and other times it's just something that they thought was normalized mm-hmm. within, their life.
Treatment for PTSD,
uh-huh.
But did it evolve because, people are coming for assistance and going to having psychotherapy, and, they were being treated for depression. The depression never got better,
mm-hmm.
Their anxiety never got better. Is this why this evolved, or?
Well, I would think so. I think over time they began to realize how much of an effect things like that can truly impair people's lives. And,
you see it on, on shows or people might be going to a therapist for years and years and years, and still, nothing.
Yeah, I think they would work on, management of current symptoms, as far as I'm depressed, I can't sleep, I feel irritable, but yet they're not working on realizing that they have underlying issues, underlying beliefs that stem from that childhood situation or experiences. And I think, and it's just, it continues to evolve over the years as far as the PTSD, the education of it, and ensuring that clients are being provided with the proper treatment. I think a few years back, it wasn't something that was really emphasized.
It wasn't looked at. It.
Yeah.
Like you said, it was just managing the symptoms. Okay, you have depression. Okay, but let's give you some medication, and we'll do some psychotherapy, and you're on your way. Mm-hmm. But never dug into what was the cause of that depression.
Yeah. So they don't get to that core of the individual. So it's just surface stuff, and they just continue to try and manage that stuff. But then if you don't change the core of it, then you just return at times.
What kind of issues are you encountering with people with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder?
Issues such as
why do they have trauma?
Well, you mean the different types of traumas that they have? A lot of the ones that I've seen have been some sort of abuse, sexually abused, and
when they were younger or as adults?
Younger, when they were younger, and sometimes most often it's at a very young age, 5, 6, and a lot of the times they come and they have never shared that before. That's something that had happened. They may have tried to tell a relative, a parent, and then after that it was just, you know, they kept it inside, and then they had, of course, all of these symptoms that manifested, and again, not seeing the connection with that. And so a lot of the times they come, and it's the first time that they're sharing their story related to the trauma. There's very few times that clients will come and they just kind of reference it and don't want to talk about it. It's rare that I've noticed. It seems like they've been waiting for that moment to share their story. And like I said, there's a few that I have met that just come and they make comments about something had happened, and I can't get over it or things like that, but they don't want to talk anymore about it.
You ask them, you know, what is it, and they just say no.
Yeah. If they decline, if they say, I don't want to talk about it, and usually the ones that I've noticed that are around that point that they don't want to speak about it, their symptoms are very high, and usually they're having suicidal ideations, and so I focus on that as well. That's what I've noticed with the ones that come and state that, I don't want to talk about it.
So what do you do in that case?
I think it just sends them into a very risky situation.
So what do you do? I mean, if they're already, you know, just, they're in a risky situation, or they already contemplate suicide ideations. Do you stop asking them, or do you continue when working on it and for them to open up? And
well, I stop asking them at that point, but I indicate that in the assessment, and at the same time, I'm getting the information for the assessment, in addition to doing stuff related to disabling the suicidal thoughts. And so I just focus, like, in the moment of, I figure, you know, they made those comments, it's likely they have PTSD. I just note whatever they stated and place it as a rule out. And over time, I figure it's going to come out. It's just not at that point. They weren't.
So if when they're in psychotherapy with you and they don't want to talk about it, how can you help that person when they don't want to fully disclose? Or it's up to you, just leave it to them. Knowing that, you know, their symptoms, the other symptoms are not going to get better. They're never going to get, you know, unless those issues are resolved.
I think Well, so far, well, I just recently began with one of the ones that didn't want to speak about it during the intake. And rapport really makes a difference. I had met her during intake. We had done some interventions at that point, and I thoroughly explained the process. I think it really helps in explaining the process and normalizing it for them, because a lot of the times they have this stigma of I'm receiving treatment and people are going to know and how other people view them, and just telling them the process of what to expect and praising them for coming in really makes a difference, and letting them know that they've gotten to a point where they've decided that they want help, that they want to feel better, and coming here, it's just a matter of time before they notice changes in their life. And with this particular client, I had seen her that time, and then she saw, of course, the nurse and the doctor, and by the time she started therapy just recently, she was still, she had very high symptoms, and again, suicidal thoughts, and so I had to do stabilization related to that, and just trying to explore what I could, just asking, you know, seeing the connection between the childhood, and now I've seen her two times. And this last time, she was able to express more related to it. So I have part of the story.
Okay.
So it gets, like, I get pieces of
it. It's a little process. It's a process that's not missed.
Yeah. Some, and
especially if you've kept it in for so long and not, you know, it's, you know, if it was sexual abuse, you know, just, there's a lot of shame that is carried, you know, for people who have been victims. And it's very hard for them to a lot of them feel like it was their fault, you know, they brought it on to them. But they were little kids, you know, and it's unfortunate that there are, I mean, it's a reality. People, you know, there's people out there that are just pedophiles and just deviants, and, you know, they prey on these kids, these little kids. So when she fully discloses to you, how, what is the process, what kind of treatment or what kind of therapy you're going to provide her with, or how does how does it work? Does it just by full disclosure, okay, you're okay now?
Well, at this moment, I'm just continuing to work on stabilization. I guess if I were to see her again, depending on where she's at related to these suicidal thoughts, because it, she just is at a point where she can't manage areas in her life, daily living, stress, and so right now that's the focus, is doing work related to that. And then once I get more of her story and a better understanding of the types of memories that she has, if there's something that I can work with, then we can begin the process for the imagery rescripting. That's if she's
What is that? Imagery rescripting?
Well, with the imagery rescripting and reprocessing, these individuals that had some sort of trauma, it could be a single event or something that was recurring, and they have these images that come like in flashes, like I said, or pictures or a movie clip, and we are able to help these clients in basically going back into re-experiencing these flashbacks or memories, and they're re-scripting
it. Wouldn't that be traumatic just to talk, I mean, just reliving it?
Well,
with that, we'll get back to it, right? You're listening to Imperial County Behavior Health. Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio, and we will be right back after a short break.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services, each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM Radio Bilingue.
And welcome back. You're listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio for Imperial and Mexicali Valley. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. And today we're talking to Natalia Rodriguez Flores. She is a mental health counselor and a marriage and family therapist, intern, therapist in training. How many more hours until you're licensed?
I believe around 900. It seems like a lot, but to me, I guess at that point, it really isn't, because it was 3,000, mm-hmm. and so to be at that last 1,000,
wow. yeah.
I really, it just kind of hit me the other day when I was adding up the hours. Mm-hmm. We turned them in each month, and I realized that I was at that point. And it's like, wow, this is not too much longer.
I know.
It's kind of different.
But then you're going to have a baby.
Yeah.
So there might have to be a little bit.
There's going to be a break in in hours.
Yeah. But eventually when you get back,
uh-huh.
you'll get on it.
Yes.
Well, today we're talking about post-traumatic stress disorder. And you were going through some of the treatment, the mm-hmm. imaging rescripting, and you were talking about it. And I had asked you a question that, you know, that's, they relive the trauma.
Uh-huh.
And I was, the question was, wouldn't that be more, even traumatizing more,
uh-huh.
the person having to live through that accident or sexual abuse? I mean.
Mm-hmm. And, well, as part of that therapy, fortunately, we were able to have the creator of that therapy come down frequently, in addition to having these case consultations mm-hmm. over the Skype through the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Mervin Smucker. And that same question, I remember.
Well, Smucker, it's got to be good.
Yeah.
I have to say it.
That I remember a similar question in one of the trainings, and
about traumatizing more.
Yeah,
person.
Re-traumatizing in
yeah.
a sense, and I can't remember exactly how he had worded it, but basically it was just stating that these individuals have already endured this trauma, and they have reoccurring memories, nightmares, dreams. It's, you know, it's several times a day. So it's not anything, it's just as if they're telling their story about one of those specific events. It's not something that they could be re-traumatized with, because they've already been traumatized initially.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just...
But wouldn't that push them over the brink? And, you know, they get re-traumatized, they leave your session, and what if, you know, something bad happens
yeah.
to them?
Well, usually I think majority of them feel a sense of relief in being able to tell their story. And at the same time, if you feel, or if they're exhibiting some sort of behaviors or made some comments, and you then have to see where they're at that point, if they are safe to go home, or if you need to do some work right there and to ensure that they go home and they don't hurt themselves, or that these thoughts are just overwhelming for them. And mm-hmm. so that's something that they leave feeling as if, you know, I'm okay, and I'm going to come back and continue with this, or something like that.
How long does this take? What is the span of it? I mean, can it be resolved in one day if they do that imaging rescripting?
Well, not in my experience. I've had the individuals typically have the chronic post-traumatic stress disorder, and so it's something that's very long-term, and even getting to the point of beginning the imagery, rescripting, and reprocessing, it's very lengthy. I think, though, that type of therapy can be tailored for other types mm-hmm. of situations as well. And for the single event, I haven't had a single event, but I know...
A single event means?
Something like if they were in a car accident, or if they had witnessed something, it was just like one event mm-hmm. that is a reoccurring, compared to something that happened over an extended period of time. And my clinical supervisor, Peter mm-hmm. DeMano, I know he's had several individuals that he's mentioned that have single events, that in just doing the one time, it was just a, you know, completely different, you know,
wow.
once they left. Mm-hmm. Their symptoms were...
So in other words, if I'm trying to hear correct, is that, you know, trauma that is recurring,
mm-hmm.
like when they were young, a sexual abuse, they were sexually abused several times in a, for a length of time, that it takes longer. It's a much...
It appears that way, and that's just only from my experience,
mm-hmm.
from what I've seen.
It could be different, but
yeah, I haven't had one yet, and so I wouldn't know. It could be, but what I have noticed in speaking to Peter, that there's been several that he has worked with that had just these single events, and he was able to do it right there in the moment. It wasn't something that needed much planning compared to the ones who have long term. You prepare them in a sense,
mm-hmm.
Educating them on the treatment rationale, what to expect. You have to do another assessment, but it's specifically on trauma. And then from there, beginning, it's like certain phases, each session, the re-scripting specific memories, things like that. And when compared to the ones that he has told me that have been single events, it's like, okay, this is something that we can do right now. Are you interested? And a majority of them seem like they have been waiting for something like that, and they're able to do it in that moment of the session. And then they come back, and it's like, my life is completely different. This is what's been going on.
Their symptoms, the other symptoms might get, you know, less, you know,
yeah.
their depression, their anxiety.
Yeah, yeah. And so with the single events, I believe it's just something that you can really just be in the moment of it. It
mm-hmm.
was just that one situation that had happened that's been something that's been there ongoing. At the same time, it's not as, I guess.
Yeah. Going back, I mean, just talking about, you know, the trauma, the you mentioned about a lot of people using substances to cope
uh-huh.
with their traumatic, you know, those memories, those nightmares. And they've done studies where a lot of the women, there's a high percentage that women were sexually abused or physically abused, you know, or in a domestic violence situation,
yeah.
and they start using drugs, you know. And it's, I mean, ever since working here at Behavioral Health, that's, but I don't judge people anymore, you know, just because they're using drugs. You never know. You don't know how their lives were, you know. You don't know if they were sexually abused, and it doesn't mean that all women or people who are using drugs have a traumatic event. But there's a lot of majority that have had a traumatic event, and it's they're never going to stop using drugs until, you know, their trauma is treated. And then it also makes me think about soldiers coming back from Iraq and from the war. I read that, actually it was in the other radio station, NPR, I can mention it, and that their suicide rate, national suicide rate, is much lower than the suicide rate of the Iraqi soldiers, veterans who are just coming back. They have a much, much higher rate of suicide than the national rate because of trauma, post-traumatic stress
mm-hmm.
disorder. You know, they don't get treatment. They're not seeking treatment, or it's not identified.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go back, you know, they get discharged, and they go back to their normal, go back to the community, and they're having these flashbacks
mm-hmm.
and these of the war, of, you know, roadside bombings, and, you know, just kids getting killed. It just, everything, very
mm-hmm.
traumatic for them. And so it's very, I've mentioned this before, my cousin's husband was also a veteran, and he committed suicide. He committed suicide, and it was very traumatic, and now it's very traumatic for his kids, because, you know, one of my cousin's little boys found him in the garage, hung himself. So that was before post-traumatic stress disorder which came out, really. And we've had, like, Duncan Hunter has been an advocate for it,
mm-hmm.
To provide services at the VA, at the Veterans Administration Hospital in San Diego, and he's pushing for it,
mm-hmm.
which I'm happy. But, you know, they don't want to be stigmatized either.
No.
And it's unfortunate, you know, that there is that still that stigma. But I'm glad, I mean, I'm glad about these new treatments and these new therapies.
Yeah, and maybe as time, you know, over time, these individuals will feel different. Mm-hmm. It's the same with post-traumatic stress disorder in general before, and mm-hmm. how people viewed it, or it wasn't researched as
much.
And now it seems like there's a movement towards working with veterans very specifically. So,
how about for children? Do you use the same techniques or therapy?
I know with children, they have I believe it's a trauma-focused, I believe it's narrative therapy. I haven't been involved in those types of trainings because I work with adults. My understanding of it, it's kind of similar in a sense. They have the stabilization mm-hmm. portions. They include the parents a lot. Educating is like a major component mm-hmm. of it. It's just normalizing it for the family and for the child and letting them know. It's just safety as well, and it's allowing them to tell their story. So it's kind of similar. It's just specifically for mm-hmm. children.
Are you seeing more females than males in the adult population going through therapy?
At this point, I think I am. I think it varies. The intakes, male, female. I have mm-hmm. usually, I think, about 3 intakes that I'm scheduled in the mornings, and so it varies. It mm-hmm. goes back and forth. And but a lot of males also have trauma as well. They just, I think even more so, they aren't able to view it as something that...
Because they're men, you know, mm-hmm. they're supposed to cope with it, deal
yeah.
with it. They're the stronger...
their views of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of them come in for symptoms like ADHD or like anger problems, like explosive behavior, things like that, and... Mm-hmm. And that's also related to things that happened in their childhood. And, you know, I've had clients, male clients, who were sexually abused as well. It's like you had mentioned mm-hmm. earlier, that it's very prevalent, you know, across. So.
It's amazing that I'm glad that it's being identified, but wouldn't it have been great if we could have been able to identify them when they were children, when they were younger.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to live a life, you know, with all these other symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was like depression, anxiety, substance use, and being able to identify them
yeah.
right away when they were young. But now we are.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're fortunate mm-hmm. to be at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And having, you know, the teams that we have and children's and clinicians addressing it at that point, and now to be fortunate enough to have had these trainings to help them as adults, you know, fortunately we couldn't get them as children, but we have great, you know, treatment models to help them at mm-hmm. this point. It seems so different than a few years ago. It was something that just wasn't really...
Not focused. It wasn't something that we identified or
readily. Yeah. It's true, and the trainings really make a difference in being able to assess that. Mm-hmm. I've noticed with readmits, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of readmits who were seen maybe 10 years or, you mm-hmm. know, just years ago, and they didn't mention anything related to trauma, and at the same time, you know, I think
we weren't looking for it.
Yeah. Either. Yeah. And so, and now it's something that you're kind of just programmed to
mm-hmm.
to explore, and you pick it up. And it's beneficial to be able to do that, because also some of these clients are possibly screened out at that point
mm-hmm.
because their other symptoms kind of appeared, mm-hmm. you know, and not to be they were like moderate mm-hmm. or so.
Not severe.
Yeah, and not realizing that they had PTSD and it was actually related to that, and so you needed to explore other areas mm-hmm. of impairments or something.
Oh, so that's good. But then, you know, those, and again, it goes back when you said, you know, those readmits, you know, they still had those symptoms and they didn't get better. You know, because, you know, trauma was not identified at that time. So they still, you know, lived with trauma for all these years until now.
Yeah.
With all this training that we're getting.
Yeah, and not knowing their situation, not knowing how it affects them. You know, as far as behaviors, as far as emotions and cognitively, education is a really important part of it, and just normalizing it for them, because like how you had mentioned about the shame and self-blame, things like that, also the fact that they hadn't told anybody, majority of them come in telling their story for the first time, and so, it just really, it makes a difference. And
I can imagine how many women out there that were sexually abused and have lived with trauma and have low self-esteem, that self-blame,
mm-hmm.
end up in a relationship where, you know, that continues to grow on that. And, you know,
maladaptive behaviors. They use drugs to numb. They
then they have children.
Promiscuous.
They have
seeking love. Things like that.
And it's like a cycle. It's just like an ongoing cycle. But I'm glad that we have these therapies using, you know, imaging rescripting. And then of course, you know, you said medication is also available. If appropriate.
Doctor determines that.
Yeah, the doctor determines that.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then in children, I think they have the trauma-focused DBT.
Oh, okay.
Yes, the trauma-focused.
I couldn't remember the name exactly.
I just remember right now, yeah. The trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, known as trauma-focused DBT. And that's been ongoing also mm-hmm. for children. We're in the process right now also to bring in Seeking Safety, and the creator of it, Lisa Nadjevic, she's a professor at Harvard University, going to come down and do Seeking Safety is for people who are abusing substances and have trauma, you know, or have trauma and mm-hmm. abusing substances, and that's for adults and for adolescents, so that's going to be very interesting, you know, looking at that. You know, that area, you know, what, you know, looking at
well, specifically mm-hmm. targeted for, like, the dual diagnosed.
Mm-hmm. Dual diagnosed.
Yeah.
With trauma that they have. So that's going to be interesting. So we're looking forward to it. And see if we've had other trainings that are coming down. They're occurring with Dr. Igor, can't pronounce his name, but he's a professor at UCSD, and he's going to come down also and doing a co-occurring training, so.
And all of these trainings are going to be when I'm on maternity leave, aren't they?
Just hold off.
I don't want to miss out. I'll have to track someone down when I come back.
I know. And the good thing is that you have, it's true, because you have your background in substance abuse. You started mm-hmm. with behavioral health as a substance abuse counselor.
Yes. I was very lucky, like I mentioned mm-hmm. before. That it really helps having that aspect mm-hmm. of it and seeing the connection.
Mm-hmm. How about, did you, when you were a substance abuse counselor, did you see any trauma? Or, I mean, back then we weren't identifying as much, but.
Yeah. I think that, just like you mentioned, we really weren't exploring it as mm-hmm. much. It was really about, well, the group sessions are focused on specific topics, mm-hmm. and we would address trauma, you know, what trauma is, identifying different symptoms to manage things like that, you mm-hmm. know. I think it wasn't something, like, specific mm-hmm. that we had a model, like how you guys will have mm-hmm. now. It wasn't then. It focused, you know, like similar to how it is now as far as the stages of change. Mm-hmm. And
do you think, like, going back, remembering any of the clients that you had in alcohol and drugs, they probably had trauma?
Mm-hmm. I think that, well, in working now in adults, mm-hmm. I've seen clients who I had previously worked with and
drug and alcohol.
Yeah, and getting a better understanding of their situation and what had happened to them and realizing, mm-hmm. yeah.
Well, that's good. And that's good that we're, like we said, that's good that we're identifying people with mm-hmm. trauma and how trauma could be, you know, you explained it. It could be just a single event or a reoccurring event.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking back, you know, there's people that have gone through, you know, accidents and lived through it and never had any symptoms.
Yeah.
And there's people that have an accident and they have, you know, diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. And it's all in their coping skills or...
Yeah, it's, you know, some things that are just, like, innate and mm-hmm. some things that are part of their, you know, who they are, truly the characteristic.
I've been in a lot of accidents. Mm-hmm. I think most of them were my fault, but because I was young. I was young and I haven't had one in, since, oh my gosh, 2002.
That's good.
No tickets, no accidents, nothing. I'm finally and my insurance is good driver. And I think now it's an excellent driver. I mean, knock on wood. But you know what, it's just, right after, I remember, and I go, I've had several. Right after that accident, you know, just, I didn't want to drive. I just, you know, I had flashbacks, and I would go home and just, you know, get in bed and just curl up, and I couldn't, you know, what had happened. Especially in the last one, you know, it was my fault, and there was somebody else injured, the other driver. And, you know, I felt so bad and just came back, and it was there, like, maybe the weekend, and by Monday, you know, I had to go back to work, and so I had to drive. So I came to work, and then eventually it just...
Over time.
Never.
Yeah.
Actually, this is the first time I think about it now.
And you're not re-traumatized.
Yeah,
right?
I'm not re-traumatized. So, but it's just that. Now I start to feel bad again.
Well, I think that some of that stuff is seen in doing the genogram. Mm-hmm.
And what are those?
The genograms, it's kind of like a family history, family tree in a sense, mm-hmm. how I try to explain to the mm-hmm. clients. But it's seeing patterns across generations and getting a better understanding of relationships, parenting, things like that, how it affected individuals among the generations. And individuals could be in the same household and view domestic violence in their home, and you could see how, you know, three different children were, how it affected them differently. Mm-hmm. You know, one used drugs, another one maybe didn't exhibit mm-hmm. anything, and another one had some other sort of, you know,
behaviors
you know. That oppositional mm-hmm. or, you know, being promiscuous or something like that, feeling like they weren't loved or whatever mm-hmm. it may be, and it's amazing to see how individually how it could come across.
Well, thank you very much, Natalia, for being here.
Thank you.
Talking about post-traumatic stress disorder, and or better known as PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
PTSD. And, you know, the types of therapy, the therapy, like imaging, rescripting, and that there is help and hope out there for people who are facing trauma, or, you know, if they've seen that their other symptoms are not getting better, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably, well, there's options. It's other options. But thank mm-hmm. you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And hopefully, you know, we'll see you again, you know, before the baby is due. If not, then we'll see you afterwards. Okay. Thank you, Ray. You've been listening to Let's Talk About It. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health. MKUBU 88.7, and you can listen to this show again through our podcast through KXOradio.com. See you next week.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.